Right, now listen to this. That is the sound of the Penguin Classics edition of Geoffrey Chaucer's Canterbury Tales. And in addition, listen to this. That is the full extent of the Riverside Chaucer. They are both extremely long books, 1,000 pages apiece at least. I haven't even counted the Riverside one, it just looks too terrifying. And they both look quite hard. Now, what you need to know about me is that I did a social sciences degree. I didn't do Chaucer. I didn't do Chaucer at A level. I think I came from the age that everyone likes to think of as completely dumbed down, when we didn't learn any grammar and we did minimal Shakespeare, the easy ones, and we didn't do Chaucer. And I've always felt like it's a gap in my knowledge. I now teach creative writing at a university. I'm studying for a PhD in narrative. I'm, you know, pretty well read, but I have not read Chaucer. And it's beginning to become a slightly embarrassing issue, because when you hang out with, you know, the kind of intellectual cadre that I do, brackets, not very often, they make references to Chaucer. Or you talk about a story and they say, oh, well, that's just like the Wife of Bath, XYZ. And I kind of nod along and smile and I'm a bit embarrassed. So that's the kind of first part of this story, the reason why I'm about to tackle these two fat, terrifying books that are written in a language which I don't speak. The second part is that I have signed up on an annual pilgrimage to walk from St Martin in the Fields in London to Canterbury, which is very near where I live. I live in Whitstable and I work in Canterbury. And that's organised by the charity The Connection at St Martin in the Fields every year, to raise money for their homeless charity, where they support London's homeless all through the year. It's a wonderful cause. If I'm honest, that's not the reason I'm doing it. I'm doing it because I have been this year walking the entire South West Coast Path. And because it's quite hard for me to get to the South West Coast Path regularly, it's about a 6-hour drive minimum, I've also started walking my much more local path, the North Downs Way, which runs from Dover through to, Guildford in Surrey. I'm not really sure, somewhere in Surrey. I'm not sure if I'll go all the way to Surrey. I don't know if I care. I've already spotted another path, the Weald Way, which runs from Gravesend right down to Hastings. So I think I might kind of switch onto that at some point. I'm you know, terribly unfaithful in terms of my walking. But the important thing is that part of the North Downs Way follows some of the old pilgrims' route from Canterbury to, or from London to Canterbury, I should say. And that has begun to fascinate me because of the fact that people will have walked that quite long distance in quite a compressed amount of time. And that's walking with real purpose. It's kind of different walking to the walking that we do now. As in, we walk for leisure because we can drive or we can take the bus, and so walking is the longest way to do it. And so when we walk, we're doing something that deliberately takes a long time, and which is deliberately leisurely and slow and perhaps contemplative. I found during my walking missions that I don't really like the kind of slow ambling walking. I like the kind of walking fast and hard. I like walking with a real feeling of purpose. And therefore, the idea of actually getting somewhere on foot is really appealing to me. And a pilgrimage is surely the most appealing kind of walk for someone like me, because it's walking to a defined place, it's deliberately hard, it probably isn't slow walking because of how far you have to cover, but all of those things are integrated, all of those things make sense together, because you're undertaking a difficult physical task in order to demonstrate, I suppose, your faithfulness to to your God, I guess, or to demonstrate your commitment to that and to and as an act of penance. And that really appeals to me. I'm not religious. I wasn't brought up in any religion either. And so I often don't relate to religious beliefs or behaviours, although I have enormous respect for them, she says in brackets very carefully. But it makes sense to me that you might undertake a long, difficult walk in order to figure out some things that are bothering you that you don't really understand, or in order to put things back into balance. And that's exactly why I'm walking, I think. So anyway, as soon as I signed up for the long, long walk from London to Canterbury, which is 75 miles in 4 days, sleeping in church halls on the way, we're not going to think about that yet. Everybody started saying to me, oh, of course, you have to reread the Canterbury Tales. And I'm like, reread. And then I thought, well, actually, seeing as I'm going to be begging for sponsorship for my walk, perhaps I'll do something that is worth sponsoring. And not that the walk itself isn't worth sponsoring, but that's kind of abstract at the moment. I haven't thought about that yet. And so I thought I would read the Canterbury Tales, and I will podcast every step of the way. And I thought you could read with me. I'd love for you to read with me. We're going to break it up into tiny chunks because we're all so busy and it's really hard to contemplate reading that great big fat book. I'm also going to be supported by my colleague, Mike Bintley, Dr. Mike Bintley, I should say, who is a medievalist. I think that's probably wrong. He's probably going to tell me off for saying that in the most gentle, lovely way, because he's a wonderful person. He's going to help me with the Chaucer, because frankly, I'd make a complete idiot mess of it on my own. And I'm hoping other people who know about Chaucer will feed in too. I'd be really, really grateful for their own podcasts like this. And I just thought that if you listen to these podcasts and enjoy them, perhaps you could throw a quid into the pot every time you do. Because we give such a lot away for free. And I've always given loads of my writing away for free. And not only does that impoverish me half the time, but also that means that I feel like I can safely say, do you know what? If you enjoy this, please throw a little bit of money into the pot. But more practically, perhaps you will also grab a copy of Geoffrey Chaucer's The Canterbury Tales. Every household must have one. Brackets, again, I didn't. I had to buy it on Amazon. And we will start, I believe, with The Knight's Tale. I'm choosing to read it in the original Middle English, which I said to lovely Mike Bintley, oh my God, that's going to be so hard. That's going to be so hard. How am I going to cope with that? It's just a different language. And he kind of grinned at me and said, it's easy. I don't think it is going to be easy, but it's clearly easier than the old English, that he's very competent in. So we're going to start with The Knight's Tale. You can read it in modern translation if you wish, or you can join me in the Middle English, and we will have a chat about it online. I really, really hope you'll join me. I really hope for the moral support and the kind of motivation of having a chat about it. But most of all, I'm really, really, really looking forward to finally reading The Canterbury Tales, which I gather is an absolutely magnificent story, and I should stop being terrified of it. But at least, I suppose, if I can focus on being terrified about reading The Canterbury Tales, it will stop me from being terrified about having to walk 75 miles in 4 days.